జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిత్రిలా ప్రవిష్ట ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమసహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమనంది. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namaham Shripadaya Krishna Prasaya Budhile Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarini. Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Deshadarini. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవా. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ. నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదిదరదశ్చర్థేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాద్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయ. తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కింవావరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యమరుధ్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాన్. నిగమగల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాతమృతద్రవ సంయుదం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం మూరహో రసికా భువి భావుగాహం. సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేదవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజందం హనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదుక్తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం హానతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణం కరుణయాః పురాణ గుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకుణిదాతృతానందోః మమ వాజి విజృంభదా మురారే మధురీం కనికాపి కాపి కావి. నమాహోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషా శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశాం యాసాం హరికథోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతి సుందరమందహాసం వదాలయేశ మనిషం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురతో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. ఓం శ్రీ కృష్ణాయ నమః. శంకరాధికారే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. Continuing from Ekadasha Skandam, where Krishna has just begun the instructions to Uddhava. Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham sujana bindushu maya aveshyamana samyak samadrak vijarasvagam. That was the first instructions from Krishna to Uddhava. And secondly, Krishna says to Uddhava, యదిదం మనసో వాజాం చక్షుభ్యాం శ్రవణాదివీం నశ్వరం గృహ్యమాణాం చ విద్ధి మాయా మనోమయం. యదిదం మనసో వాజా చక్షుభ్యాం శ్రవణాదివీం నశ్వరం గృహ్యమాణాం చ విద్ధి మాయా మనోమయం. Canto 11, Chapter 7, Verse 7. యదిదం మనసో వాచ చక్షుభ్యాం శ్రవణాదిభి నశ్వరం గృహ్యమాణాం చ విద్ధి మాయామనోమయం. కృష్ణ సేస్ మాయామనోమయం. సో వి హావ్ సీన్ బిఫోర్ ఆల్సో దిస్ మైండ్ అండ్ మాయా, దే ఆర్ వెరీ క్లోజ్లీ లింక్డ్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎ బిగ్ సబ్జెక్ట్ ఇన్ ది వేదిక్ ఫిలాసఫీ, స్టడీ ఆఫ్ మాయా అండ్ స్టడీ ఆఫ్ ద మైండ్. And there is so much analysis of mind in every aspect of the Vedic tradition, whether it is bhakti, jnanam, karmam or yogam, ashtanga yoga system, all over you will find this inclusion of the mind. We'll come to that later about the mind. But Krishna is saying here to Uddhava that mind is also very much influenced by maya. Mind is nothing but a projection of maya inside. Projection of Maya inside. Maya, when it's acting, this influence of Maya is unknown to us, isn't it? In our day-to-day dealings, we are not conscious of Maya. So, if you look into the Chadishlogi Bhagavadam, the four verses when Krishna spoke to Brahma, if you remember in the second canto, chapter 9, there are four verses, the seed verses they are called, Chadishlogi. Chadishlogi Bhagavadam, it is that four verses which Brahma expanded and handed over to Narada Maharshi, which he expanded later and gave it to Vedavyas, who expanded and gave it to Sukadeva Goswami, who expanded and gave that to Parikshit. So like that. So anyway, in those four verses, the first verse Krishna talks about himself. What does he say? Aham evasam egvagre nanyagyal sadasalparam paschadaham yadedacha yovashishyeda sosmeham. When you go home, you can take the second canto, and in the chapter 9, you can see these verses. So the first verse is, Krishna says, in the beginning only me existed, in the end also only I will exist. Only it's me who is left behind at the very end. When he's talking about the end, means at the very end of everything. It's only me who will exist. In between, all these things happens. All these different things, what you see in this creation, all the different kinds of living entities, their different activities, their karma and their transmigration of the soul. All these things are in middle of these two. അഹമേവാസമേവാഗ്രെ ഇൻ ദ ബിഗിനിങ് ഇറ്റ്സ് ഓൺലി മീ പശ്ചാത്തഹം ഏതെന്നുവെച്ച യുവശിഷ്യത സ്വസ്നേഹം അറ്റ് ദി എൻഡ് ഓൾസോ ഇറ്റ്സ് ഓൺലി മീ ഓൺലി മീ ഈസ് ലെഫ്റ്റ് ബിഹൈൻഡ് അറ്റ് ദി എൻഡ് കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ഇൻ ദി സെക്കൻഡ് വേഴ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ ടോക്സ് അബൌട്ട് മായ സ്ട്രൈറ്റ് അവേ ഹൃദയർത്ഥം യ പ്രതീയേത ന പ്രതീയേത ച ആത്മനി തദ്വിദ്യ ആത്മനോ മായം യഥാഭാസോ യഥാതമാം ദിസ് ഈസ് ദ സെക്കൻഡ് വേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദ സെക്കൻഡ് വേഴ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ ഡിസൈഡ് ടു ടോക്ക് അബൌട്ട് മായ സ്ട്രൈറ്റ് അവേ ബിക്കോസ് ദിസ് എനർജി കൃഷ്ണാസ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ എനർജി മായ ഈസ് സച്ച് എ പവർഫുൾ തിങ് കൃഷ്ണ വാണ്ട്സ് അസ് ടു നോ വാട്ട് ദിസ് മായ ഈസ് ആൻഡ് ഈവൻ ദോ കൃഷ്ണ ഹാസ് ടോൾഡ് അസ് അബൌട്ട് ദിസ് മായ we do not care about it because we do not understand what maya is that is the power of maya hrudayartham yat pradiyeda na pradiyeda jalmani there krishna says this nature of maya is like this that hrudayartham yat pradiyeda if something is has no real truth or substance in it something whatever it has no substance but it will make you feel that it has got every substance and yat pradiyeta chalmani something which has got substance it will make you feel it has no substance for example if we look at ourselves in this world when we deal with this world krishna is saying this material manifestation is a temporary thing everything in this material creation is temporary nashwaram and it is come from maya But Maya makes us feel that this is permanent, isn't it? It makes us feel all the time that this world is permanent. On the other hand, what is permanent actually? It is only the soul, the living force inside, isn't it? So Krishna is saying, Hrudayartham yat pradiyeta. Hrudam, what is false, it will make you feel as it's true. Yat pradiyeta, nat pradiyeta chalmani. That what is truth, which is Atma, the soul, it will make you feel it doesn't exist. So there itself the problem begins for us. Isn't it? That is why we are able to carry on doing things what we are doing here. Because of this Maya's role like this. Hrudayartham yat pradiyeda na pradiyeda jalmani. Avidyad atmano bhavam. Tad vidyay atmano bhavam. Yatha bhaso yatha thama. So that Maya works in two different ways. One is called Abhasam, another one is called Tamasa. It is two different words used instead of Vikshepam and Avaranam, what we spoke about in the last during last Sunday. Vikshepam and Avaranam is the thing that, as I mentioned, the covering potency is the Tamam, Avaranam, or covering. And Vikshepam is the deluding potency. That is the word Srila Prabhupada has used in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So covering potency and deluding potency. Or Tamasa and Rajasa, you can call it. Or in other words, Avaranam and Vikshepam. These are all different words used for the same, to convey the same meaning. And they are the powers of Maya. They are the powers of Maya. So when you see something and it makes you an impression, makes you give you a feeling as substance. Maya makes it feel it is something which actually it is not. And it is very difficult for most of the people to accept this concept because of their heavy absorption in Maya. Maya makes us wonder whether whatever spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam even it is true or not. Even to such an extent we doubt the things. That is the power of Maya. Hrudayartham yat pradiyeda na pradiyeda cha almani. തദ്വിദ്യാദ ആത്മനോഭാവം യഥാഭാസം യഥാതമാം യഥാഭാസം യഥാതമാം തമ മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് കവറിംഗ് ടു മേക്ക് സം ഫീൽ മേക്ക് യു ഫീൽ സംതിങ് വിച്ച് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ടു നോട്ട് ടു റിവീൽ ഇറ്റ്സ് ട്രൂ ഐഡന്റിറ്റി വാട്ട് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് വി ടോക്ക്ഡ് അബൌട്ട് ദി റോപ്പ് ആൻഡ് ദ സ്നേക് ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ് ദ റോപ്പ് ഇറ്റ് മേക്ക് ദ ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദ തവണ മേക്സ് യു ഫീൽ ഇറ്റ് കവേഴ്സ് ഇറ്റ്സ് പൊട്ടൻസി And it shows as a snake. That is the tamasa, tamogunam in there. And rajogunam is that one, or vikshepam is that one, which does not, which covers its true form. Instead of snake, instead of rope, it is something different. That thing, these are all very, very subtle things in the mind. And once you understand Maya, I know it's not possible to free from Maya. It is a very difficult thing. Without Krishna's mercy, it's not possible to free from Maya. But then it does help once you have the understanding of Maya in life. It comes to deal with this world in a different way. It helps to deal with the world in a different way. In other words, with the help of, when you understand the Maya's influence in everyone and how Maya affects people, one can immediately understand that the power of Maya is so high that the person has got victimized by that. That's why it is impossible to pinpoint a person, for sometimes his Krishna consciousness level is very poor. He gets affected by Maya and then he acts in a way which is completely opposite to the principles of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, power of Maya is so much stressed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You will see, Kunti Devi also said the same thing to Krishna, isn't it? About Krishna, Kunti Devi, what did she say? Maya javiniga channam ajnana dokshajam avyayam nalakshase moodhadrisho nato natyadharo yatha. Kunti Devi's prayers in the Bhagavatam. Kunti Devi says to Krishna, Maya javiniga channam. Javiniga means a curtain. Krishna has come here with this curtain of Maya. Why? Because ajnana dokshajam avyayam nalakshase moodhadrisho. Foolish people won't understand who Krishna is. That is why, even though Krishna was present here personally for 125 years, how many people understood Krishna? Because Krishna put this coverage in front of him, Maya's cover. Therefore, many people did not understand Krishna. Only a few devotees like Vidura, Uddhava, and many personalities like that, they were able to understand who Krishna was. That just like a person who is acting in a drama, he comes here, he puts some different cover, clothes himself, isn't it? According to the character he is presenting in the drama. Similarly, Krishna has come here and presented himself here as an ordinary person. And he spent his time in Vrindavanam, Mathura, Dwaraka, all these places, as though he is like any one of us. Foolish people could not understand who Krishna was. Foolish people never realized who Krishna was. Just like a person who acts in a drama does it. So from here you can see that Kunti Devi recognized the power of Maya. Maya javiniga channam. She says, you have put on this cover of Maya, that's why you are able to do like this. So Vedavyasa Maharshi, while compiling Srimad Bhagavatam, also says the same thing in the beginning about the presence of Maya. So Maya has to be understood, and it is one of the most difficult thing to understand. We have said in different ways people have expressed this presence of Maya within this world, in our own world, in our own life. When we deal with this world, you can see. Just like how this world, external world, appears before us, you can analyze it yourself and see that whatever we see in this world, it does not appear to us in the same, everyone does not experience it in the same way, is it? Everyone does not experience it in the same way. For example, a very poor person, he sees this world in one way, isn't it? His realization of this world, the way he sees this world, and the way he relates with this world is different than a billionaire, how he sees this world, isn't it? Both of them don't see the world in the same way. The poor person who relates with this world in one way, and the very rich person, he relates with this world in a different way. The world is the same. But why is this difference coming? Because of the individual who is relating with the world, his knowledge and realizations are different. His situations are different. That's why it is like that. Similarly, if you look at a child, say a young boy or a young girl, he sees the world in one way, and an older person who is in his 60s or 70s, he sees the world in a different way, isn't it? He cannot anymore think this world in terms of his childhood. By the age of 60 or 70, you get a lot more different understanding of this world. Although the world hasn't changed, the world is still the same. So the young child and the old person, they see this world in a different way. A blind person sees this world in a different way. So the world itself is, the world is the same, but the experience of everyone at different situations is different from this world. They all see the world in a different way. They all see the world in a different way. This is Maya. How come Maya is able to do this? Why we are all not seeing the world in the same way? Like like someone who lives in a village, his world is centered around this small little village or a few miles around, when he is not concerned about the rest of the things in this world. But a senior politician or a person who is like prime minister or president of a country, he does not think only about his little village. He thinks about the whole planet. He thinks about all the different countries, big meetings he has to go to, the big problems of this world and things like that, isn't it? Isn't it? So that's the way he relates with the world. So just like Prime Minister. Prime Minister is concerned about the global warming. Prime Minister is concerned about the problems in Burma or China or whatever that's going on, Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever that's going, Palestine, whichever it is. He has all these issues in his head. But an ordinary person, he is not concerned about all what goes on there. What can he do? He thinks about his own daily life in this world. He is worried about his own job, his own livelihood and his family, things like that. So, although both these people are living in the same world, they have two different experiences from this world. Isn't it? So, this is Maya. Maya is able to keep us all, because the way the knowledge is within us, how we project that knowledge onto this world, and accordingly we experience this world. We experience this world. This is the power of Maya. That's why it is said there that unable to understand Maya. Nobody can understand. Akadidagadana patiyasi Maya. That's how it is mentioned. Nobody can understand Maya. That she will make you, in while living here, right in her lap, she will make you feel something different for everybody. She is able to create that impression in everyone. That's the first thing. Secondly, Krishna is saying here, Nashuram Grihyamanam Ja Vidhi Maya Manomayam. And everything that is coming from this Maya is nothing but it is a Nashuram, temporary, and it is also in relationship with the mind. It has nothing to do with the soul. It has only purely to do with the mind. So once it is understood, this is a topic which requires a very lengthy discussion on Maya, Maya's role, and it's a recognized fact that Maya can change, make you feel things which you never thought in life can happen. That's her power. Just like two things. One, we talk about time, isn't it? We talk about time in this world. We also talk about space in this world. These are the two things which controls us to a large degree in this world. They are both projections of Maya on us. Maya's projections on us, time and space. So you can see how it happens. The time factor, we'll come to that later. Let's take the space issue first of all. Somebody, say a businessman, wants to travel to America. He has to do some business there. And he had to go on a Monday morning to do his business in America, and he wants to go for a couple of days and comes back to UK after the business. So he had an urgent request to come, and he couldn't get a flight ticket to go to America. So he slept on Sunday night, that he was unable to go on Monday morning to attend the meeting there. With that thoughts in his mind, he sleeps on that night, on Sunday night. And thousands of miles away, America is lying there. And he had to go there for this meeting on Monday to be present for some appointment, whatever that was planned. And various activities were organized for him for discussions. And then to conclude the business, everything, and then come back in a couple of days. That was his original plan. But he didn't get his ticket. Flight was not available or whatever. Something has happened. He couldn't go. So he's sleeping that night. And in the night,
America comes to him. He is in this dream, he is experiencing, he has been to America. And because of that constant absorption in the thoughts of the business in America, all those customers whom we were supposed to meet there in America, and all the transactions he was meant to do there, that all comes to him. So where is America? America is there or America is inside here? This is Maya. Maya has this capacity that using this mind and make you feel everything. That's why even this world, external world, what we are talking about, she is also, world's presence is inside. We project on that, our projection is like this, that thousands of miles away America is lying, I have to travel there for this meeting, to go for this. All these things happens in a few moments inside while sleeping at night. The meeting happens. Now, when we say these things, automatically sometimes we start thinking that, well, that is in a dream, isn't it? So how can it be true? This is how we think, but it's not like that. If you simply understand these three states of existence properly, how Krishna has spoken about that to Uddhava, that jagral sapna sushuptinja pravurto nuvurto gunavurtaya sakshal virachana jiva sakshitvena vinischina. In order to point out that our true identity as jiva is nothing to do with any of these things. All these things are happening due to the presence of the mind, due to the presence of the mind. Let's try to understand this a little bit more. When you say, when you go into sleep, and when you get up from the sleep, you'll say that, oh, whatever I have left behind when I went to bed, that's all there when I came back, isn't it? So, on the other hand, whatever you have experienced in the dream, when you wake up from the dream, it doesn't exist. So people will tell you this point, their argument will be, because of this difference, whatever that happened in the dream state is not real, but whatever happens in the wakened state is real. This is a common argument. Everybody will agree with this, isn't it? When I went to sleep, whatever I have left behind in this world, say for example, family or the house, the car, or bank balance, whatever it is, whatever you had here, when you went to sleep, you have lost it. You are not in touch with that, isn't it? You missed your connection with that. When you wake up in the morning, all those things are still there. So, they'll say, wake up state is reality. Whereas in the dream, whatever you have experienced, say 7-8 hours you have dreamt in the night, and in the morning when you got up, woke up and came to waking state, all that's gone. So therefore, that's a dream, this is reality. Yes or not? Is this, most of the people will take it like that, isn't it? Shastra says different, no. The reason for that is, in the waking state, for example, let's say like this. Say you have slept for many hours in the night, 8 or 9 hours in the night. And during that time, 7 or 8 hours, when you have slept, there is a possibility that you can experience 10 or 15 years of your life in 10 hours. Have you, any one of you may have experienced like that. That suppose some night you had some powerful dreams where you constantly dreamt throughout the night, and it so happened that a major part of your life appeared in a dream. To give you an example, say you have from your youth, from the age of 20, you went to the college. Many years you spent at the college, came, finished your studies there. Then you got a job. And then after getting job, you got married, had children. So probably a period of 10, 12 years in life, this whole thing you can experience in one night's dream. That's possible, isn't it? Or is there any difficulty in accepting that? It happens sometimes that you will experience some of the part of your life which spans over, say, 8 or 10 years over a period of 8 or 10 hours. Say, for example, to make it a little bit more easier, today is 1st of June. Tomorrow is 2nd of June. So today, 1st June night, at 10 o'clock, I'm going to sleep. And 2nd June morning, I'm waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning. So in this 8 hours time, I dreamt about my childhood from youth and a major part of my life during that time. During that time. What it is saying is, that during that dreaming time, during the time of dreaming, you are also experiencing that you are going to college regularly, got your degree or whatever that you got from there, and then you are also sleeping there. Sleep is coming in between all these things. In between, the sleep is coming. Only because of that you are feeling that continuity in the dream. In other words, while this dream, continuous dream of 10 years of life in one night's dream, it can be only experienced if you, the dreamer, is constantly experiencing it in continuity. As the soul or the person who is dreaming it, he has to go through that continuous process. Otherwise, it won't have any effect on you. In other words, the person who is dreaming it, from childhood, say 10 years of his life, say from to age 20 to age 30, 10 years life, in one night he was able to experience it only because behind that the dreamer, the person who is dreaming, he is the one who is experiencing it, and he is constantly experiencing that from beginning to end. So from this we have to conclude that just because that when you woke up in a normal sleep and you found everything is here, does not mean that this is a reality and that's a dream. That argument doesn't fly. People are saying that, oh, in the waking state, I woke up and everything was there. In the dream state also it's happening. In the dream state also, you, the person, is going through this experience of dream where you are experiencing something, and then you are going to sleep sometime, then you are coming back to the dream again going to sleep, back to dream again. But the time and the breaking of all that is difficult to say when that will happen. Sometimes, say 10 years experience you had in one dream. Maybe 5 or 7 years experience could be in the first 10 minutes. And then for a long time a sleep. And then the balance experience in the last few minutes. It can happen. So that is uncertain. That's unknown to us how that happens. But the fact is this, that just because when you have woken up from the sleep and everything was here in this world as it is when you left, does not give you any guarantee that this is all real and the other one was a dream. That is not acceptable. So this is one important point. That the everything what we have experienced in this world, Krishna is saying, because it is coming from Maya and it is coming from the mind, that is also has no reality. This is Krishna's point. Krishna's point is Vidhi Maya Manomayam. It is come from Maya, it is come from the mind, and therefore it has no real existence. Krishna wants to point out that that there are so many examples of this in the Vedic literature about Maya, to discuss about that. But these thoughts about Maya and its influence on Maya is unknown to many people. In their daily dealings, they are not able to bring that in. The reason for that is most of the time, their mind is absorbed in so many other things. It requires quite a lot of subtle perception or subtle vision, and also living in quietly without being too much involved in the activities of this world. That's why the great sages, they went to the forest for this reason, that they did not want to be too much absorbed in this world, because then they find it difficult to recognize Maya. someone who is completely absorbed in the worldly activities or materialistic activities, for him it's very difficult to recognize Maya. His mind is so absorbed in the world that he cannot even think that a thing called Maya exists. Isn't it? So that's why a lot of these people in this world are able to carry out what they are doing, because they are unaware of the presence of Maya. But sometimes you can see the activities of these great businessmen, great politicians who have completely devoted 24 hours to work. People who work like that, they just don't understand what goes on. And they all get defeated at the end. That you know. Everyone gets defeated in this world, isn't it? Nobody wins this world. Whether it is, doesn't matter who it is. At the end you can see that they are all baffled. They are all perplexed by this world. Isn't it? So why is that? Because throughout life, they worked very hard. And some of these people, some of these big men, big leaders, they are so austere and they are so devoted to their work, and they work all the day, all night, sleeps couple of hours in the day, in the night, and they don't waste their time on anything else because they are so absorbed in the different materialistic activities. Because of that, they will always get eventually disturbed by the influence of Maya, but that they cannot recognize it. But Vedic literature is telling us that Nashuram Grihimananja Vidhi Maya Manomayam. That is, this Maya alone is making us to realize this world as real. That is the way it is mentioned here. That whatever we may say, that unless one keeps these things in the picture, these instructions to Uddhava is difficult to understand also. Because many things what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavadam also is in connection with Maya. It is in the association of Maya. It's very much involved with the Maya. Yadidam manaso vaja chakshubhyam shravana adivi nashwaram grihyamanam ja vidhi maya manomayam. Maya manomayam. Manomayam. Manomaya means, how does this Maya work with us? How does this Maya work with us? Say, for example, what is mind? Mind is mind. That's the first question comes, isn't it? Mind, according to Vedic philosophy, is called another name, the way expressed it is Chitta Vritti. Chitta Vritti means that thoughts coming one after the other, one after the other, the flow of thoughts inside. That is called manas or mind. So this mind, controlling this mind, in words means what? It means controlling these thoughts, isn't it? The flow of thoughts. The flow of thoughts. So thoughts, if you notice, two thoughts won't happen at the same time inside, isn't it? One thought comes, that goes, immediately another one comes in, isn't it? Another one follows that. So one after the other, the thoughts keeps coming to us. And the nature of these thoughts is generally, if you look at the time, past, present and future, most of us, what we experience normally, is the thoughts is either from the past or about the future. I don't know whether you have analyzed the mind in that way. But you can observe that majority of the thoughts, almost all you can say, is either about the past or about the future. So this is called, Shastram, it's called Chitta Vritti, the way the mind works, Chitta Vritti. So what does the mind do? Mind is oscillating between the past and the future. Past and the future. Past and the future. Backwards and forwards. Everything what is constantly what's coming through inside is called the thoughts, is called Chitta Vritti. Chitta Vritti means continuous flow of these thoughts. And when this process goes on very strongly in us, these thoughts becomes very strong inside, then what happens to us is we go into dream state. And when these thoughts comes down a little bit less, then we come to the waking state. When we come to the waking state. And when this thought business stops completely about the past, completely about the future, and when it stays in the present all the time, then you are in the realized state. This is the difference between the dream state, wakened state, and the realized state. I can show you how that happens. The the thoughts that is coming during the, when the thought process gets very, very strong, that is the reason why in dream state you are able to bring 10 years of life in 10 hours. You see, 10 years what you have experienced in life, in the wakened state, in the dream state, you are able to experience it in 10 hours. How is that possible? It's only because this moving of these thoughts, chitavritti, becomes very intense in the dream state. In the dream state, it becomes very intense. And therefore, in the dream state, what normally happens is the chitavritti increases very high. Patanjali says in the Yoga Sutram, what he says? Patanjali says, Yogaha Chittavritti Nirodhaha. When you can completely control this chitavritti, this back and forth business between past and the future, past and the future, past and the future, if you can completely control it and stop it and not allow the mind to wander to the past or wander to the future, then you have got the mind under control. But normally our mind is not like that, isn't it? Our mind is not like that. So, so the important thing to remember here is that this mind is the whole problem behind everything. And the mind, when it goes completely out of control, it goes crazy. Isn't it? It just goes crazy. When the chittavritti becomes so intense that you have lost control on it completely, that then you become crazy. But for an average person whom we consider as normal, that person's normal life is like this. That past and future is always in his mind. Either he is lamenting or enjoying the past, whatever, based on his modes of nature, he will enjoy or regret about it. And then a lot of time he is thinking about the future. Nobody thinks about the present so much. Actually, the thing called present itself doesn't exist for very long, isn't it? What happens? Now I'm speaking, this present has become past in a minute. Or in a second it has gone to the past. So therefore, the measurement of time from the Vedic point of view and the modern scientific point of view is also different. You see, in the modern science, how do we measure the time? We measure through second, minutes, hour, day, like that, 24 hours, like that, we measure it, isn't it? So in other words, a second for you and second for me is the same according to the science, isn't it? According to the science, it is the same for you and for me, and it's the same for everyone else in this world. But from the Vedic point of view, this time measurement has no meaning. It has no meaning, because the reason is this. The sages who have studied things much more about the science inside rather than the outside, this time calculation is only useful for those who are studying the matter, dead matter, jadam. Those who are studying the dead matter, for them this time is useful. You see, scientist is a person who studies the external world. The sages are those people who study the internal world, inside, what goes on. That's what he is concerned about. He is not concerned about outside, because outside, as Krishna says, it's mayamayam manomayam. There is no point in studying this too much. If you study this, you can see for yourself that at one time the property prices were very high. In few months the property prices drops. After a few years property prices go up again. If you start dancing with this, you will suffer the whole life. Is it not? So intelligent thing is to understand that these are part of this world. It has nothing to do with me. That will go on one way or the other. I'm only giving one example. There are so many examples like this in this world. Once you start relating with this world in terms of anything, eventually you will notice that all of it has no meaning. Strictly speaking, it has no meaning. That is not in your control, and plus it's temporary, and even if you want to keep it, the material nature won't allow you, it will kick you out from here. Your connection with that particular object is finished at some point. So, if it is like that the time factor is something which you cannot help about it, the time factor is not in your control. So the fact is that 10 years of life you are able to see in 10 days, or sorry, 10 hours in a dream, is purely because your chittavritti has increased. The activities of the mind has increased. That's why you are able to accommodate 10 years life in 10 hours in the night. 10 hours in the night. This is one important point. Now, when you see this, that in that 10 hours you experienced 10 hours of life. Similarly, if you think about a person's life, say somebody is living in this world for 70 years. For 70 years. This 70 years of life you can experience in 7 hours in the night, or 7 days in a dream, or 7 nights, 7 dreams in the 7 nights. You can experience 70 years of life also. From there, you have to understand that material body and this so-called lifespan in this world, they all doesn't mean much. They all doesn't mean much. We give so much importance to time. We give so much importance to all the historical facts, isn't it? We had First World War 1914, 1918, Second World War 1913, 1945. We studied this at the school, and the school puts questions to us. We answer all those questions. What happens to Germany? What happens to France? What happened to England? What happened to America? So many things we are discussing about this world, as though all this First World War, Second World War, they are all eternal. Eternal information for this world. We only have recorded history for the last 1,000 years or 2,000 years. What about all the wars which were fought before that? Who remembers them? And maybe another few 1,000 years from now, is anyone going to remember First World War and Second World War? But we are still studying it very seriously, thinking that they are such an important thing. But Krishna is saying here, all of these things is nothing but projection of Maya. Mind is nothing but a projection of Maya. Vidhi Mayamayam Manomayam. Vidhi Maya Manomayam. So similarly, coming back to this point of time, that as much as you have seen this time in terms of the modern science, the sages have a different way of measuring the time. That's why if you look at the old Sanskrit literature, the word used for time is called kshanam. Kshanam. Kshana. Kshana is the word they use. Kshana is not like seconds. A kshana means like this. The way they measure it is the gap between one thought and the second thought. That's called a kshana. So kshana can vary for all of us. My kshana will be different than your kshana. You can project the second hour time and minutes and all that only on a material level. Or when you go inside and start thinking about the soul and the activities of the soul and the mind and intelligence there, this time, material time, has no effect at all inside. Is there? You cannot do anything with this time inside. On all other areas of dealings in this world, you can use these clocks and time and the best watches from Switzerland, all you can use that. But they have, from the Vedic point of view, that measurement of time is no use inside. You will see here, when Uddhava said to Krishna, if you look into that verse, that was just a few verses before, Krishna says in the that was last chapter, sixth chapter, verse 44. If you look at that, Krishna Uddhava is saying here, Naham tavangri kamalam kshanardham abhi keshava. Kshanardham. Even half of a kshana, he says. So the word kshana is there in Bhagavadam and also in other Vedic literature. That is the word they use, the kshana. Kshana is the word they use for measuring the time. Because when you go inward, inside and start measuring the signs, this you cannot put this clock on and measure the activities of the mind. Can you? Or the activities of the dream. Activities of the dream. So therefore it says, Naham tavangri kamalam kshanardham avikeshava. The kshana is the term which was used by the sages to measure the time. And the kshana is this thing, the gap between one thought and the second thought. Whatever that gap between that, that is called a kshana. So in other words, it is such a small, minute times in relationship with the person, and it varies with the person. So this time factor, which goes inside, that you can call it as the thoughts, say per second or something like that. Whatever thoughts, if you keep measuring that, if it increases, if its intensity increases, you stay in the dream state. If its intensity comes down, you come to the waking state. And when it completely stops, these thoughts per second, zero, when it becomes zero, you are in the realized state. Therefore, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, what is it called? Nirodham, isn't it? Nirodham. Nirodham of what? Nirodham means to stop. To stop what? To stop the mind. Mano Nirodham. Mano Nirodham is what 10th canto is. So, by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 10, in the beginning, Sudeva Goswami says to Parikshit, Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam udaya manandaram ishanukatha nirodham. Nirodham is the 10th canto. Mukti is the 11th canto. Ashrayam is the 12th canto. Nirodho muktirashrayam. Nirodham is the 10th canto. Mukti is the 11th canto. Ashrayam is the 12th canto. So there also you can see that mano nirodham, controlling the mind, how difficult it is, and for which Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole of canto 10 has been spoken. So, coming back to the time again, when the thought process gets very intense, we go into the dream. When the thought process comes down, you come to the wakened state. That's the reason why you are able to live 10 years of life in 10 hours, because the thought process gets very intense in the dream state. And similarly, when you completely are able to stop this oscillation between the past and the future, and the mind has come completely stand still, it is not affected by anything, then the mind is completely under control, and that person is almost in the realized state. It goes into the samadhi state, what is called a samadhi state. So these three states of existence also important. Turiyam, which is called Turiyam or Samadhi, whatever way it is mentioned in the Bhagavadam. And then we have the Jagrata state, and also there is the Sotnam state. Now by understanding this, it makes us realize the importance of bringing the mind under control. Only when the mind is under control, one can understand what Krishna is saying. Somebody who is very disturbed in the mind and these intense thoughts are coming one after the other, if he takes Srimad Bhagavatam and read Ekadasha Skandam, it won't make any sense to him. It's important to keep this mind, not to allow the mind to oscillate like this, from past to future all the time. That is one important point. So, coming back to this again, that the these thoughts which are flowing through us constantly, which we are unable to control, if you observe carefully, you can see that in the dream state, when you are dreaming very intensely, when do you come back from that state to awakened state? When do you come back from that to the vacant state? Sometimes what happens is, while experiencing a dream, somewhere in the middle, some unpleasant experience comes to you. Say, for example, a intense fear or an intense happiness occurs. Something in the dream has given you an intense fear or intense happiness, something, some emotion which is very intense. At that time, the power of that dream became so intense that you wake, divert your attention to your true self, and that is a waking state. You divert your attention completely from the dream to the soul, and that's when you wake up. In the morning, in the night also, sometimes you get these bad dreams, isn't it? And some people, in the bad dreams, they even make a lot of noise. They cry out of fear. Either the elephant has come to hit him, or the whole building is collapsing, or something like that. Someone is stabbing him. Different kinds of fear inside. We all have, isn't it? Different kinds of fear we all have inside. Suppose you are constantly watching different television programs, for example, or reading some books, or reading or associating with things which are constantly inputting fear into your mind. Those things will stay and they will accumulate and develop intensely in the night. In the dream, it will come out. And then you feel, oh, I shouldn't have read that book. I shouldn't have watched that program. I shouldn't have done this. But then it's too late. You have already pumped a lot of garbage inside. So this garbage has to act. It has already put it in. So it has to come out. And it can only come out in the form of these dreams at night. It has no other choice. Because in the daily life, it will not happen. But it has to find a path to flow. And that path is this dream at night. So what we are saying is, when you have experienced a dream for a long time like this, and when you have intense experience in that dream, suddenly it diverts your attention from the dream to the soul, and that's when you wake up. Waking up happens at that time. Similarly, in this Maya what we are now living, when such an experience happens to us, that if we get diverted from this waking state to the realized state, then we will realize that this waking state is also a dream. Do you follow my point? Then, see, this is Vedanta philosophy is saying like this, that waking state, dream state, and this realized state, in these three states of existence, your soul, in all these situations, the dreamer is not changing. The dreamer is not changing. The dreamer is the same person. While dreaming, in the vacant state, in the realized state, all the person is the same. What has happened was that his thoughts were causing all these transformations in him, moving from one state to another from dream to deep sleep, from dream to vacant state, to realize the state. What all that was happening was, his thoughts their flow was changing. So exactly like from the dream state, you got diverted your attention because of that intense experience in the dream and came to vacant state. Similarly, at some time, when that happens to us in the vacant state, a similar experience, it will also move us to close to the truth, to the realized state. Only thing is that what happens in that time is that experiences in the material world, particularly distress, it is from that distress we become Krishna conscious. Nobody has become Krishna consciousness. Nobody has become Krishna conscious when he is experiencing happiness in this world. That's a very, very rare thing to happen. So therefore it said, Dukhanya lokya jandushu alam uditam vivekam koham acharya varyaha labdhva tvadrubadatvam gunacharidagada ulbhaval bhakti bhuma. That is how it happens. Dukhanya lokya jandushu First of all, to recognize that there is dukkham, distress in this world. And intelligence is to recognize the distress in this world in the first instance. But most of us, we won't accept that. We need to be smashed all the time, kicked all the time. Only then we suddenly start thinking, why is it happening like this? What things have gone wrong, isn't it? So, dukkha anyaloke jandushu, said our realization comes when we get distress in life. Otherwise, then that brings some discrimination in life. Otherwise, there is no discrimination. The only thing what is going through our head is money. Where is the money? The honey, the sweet honey, where is it? And without any discrimination, chasing this money whole life, that is modern lifestyle. Isn't it? Modern world only understands this. It doesn't understand anything else. And it is considered to be the most advanced state of consciousness today, if you are doing this all the time. And that's what's the only thing what is recognized in this world, nothing else. If some person who is a little bit sober and is thinking about this life, he is saying, look, why you are preaching to me? If you are not getting sleep, why you disturb my sleep? I am getting good sleep. This is how they see people who are engaged in spiritual life. And this is the world you are preaching Krishna consciousness to. So you can see that the experience is an important thing. And to come at distress in life is important. Dukhanyalavake jandushu alam udida vivegam. Vivegam comes from that. Then, only then some discrimination will come inside to begin with. And then, when constantly one experiences that, he becomes more detached. Vivegam ohama, from vivegam vairagyam comes. It is at that time the inquiry begins in a person. Otherwise, normally, when you start presenting Krishna consciousness to people, they won't value it. They take it that, what has he got to say? And then he is enjoying his life in this world. He has not found any necessity to change his way of life. For example, somebody who is enjoying the dream. He does not want to come out of that dream if it is particularly very pleasant. Only when suddenly it brings him some distress or some intense experience, only then he wants to leave that. It is the same thing with vacant state also. It's not much different. The vacant state also, what's normally happening is, because everything is looking very pleasant and things are working out very nicely in this world, people take it that why I should worry about the realized state when I don't have any problem now. Everything is going very well. And when you go and talk to these people about Krishna consciousness, their reaction, at least they may not tell you, they'll give you prasadam and all that. But if you tell them to come to the temple and to hear Shrimad Bhagavatam or to chant the holy name, they'll tell you quite very, very nicely, they will tell you, look, we have got a lot of responsibilities at home. I got my wife, I got my children. Children have to go to school and wife has to do this, I have to go shopping, I have this, I have that. Why? Because somewhere inside, he has decided the waking state is reality for him. And he has already decided in his own mind that the dream state and the waking state is real, the dream state is a temporary dream. But he does not understand that this waking state, dream state and the realized state is nothing but a projection of the mind. It is the mind that is keeping him in that situation. And so long as one is on this mental platform, it is difficult for him to advance on the spiritual side. The spiritual life is beyond all these things. Spiritual life is where you can reject the mind. Not allow, use the mind and think that the mind is controlling. Mind cannot be the factor in spiritual life. Spiritual life is the time when you have to move beyond the mind, beyond the senses, beyond the intelligence to come to the platform of the soul, the spiritual life. So, here, Krishna is saying here, In various ways, Krishna is presenting this to us, that Vidhi Maya Manomayam, Mayamayam and Manomayam, Mayamayam and Manomayam. For example, the if is this whole world in that case, is it not true? If we say like that, is the world all false? World is not false. World is not false. But the problem with this world is it is adulterated with Maya. It's adulterated with Maya. And if you understand Maya, if you understand Maya, then at least you will feel, you will learn how to deal with this world. Not allow yourself to be driven by this world. This is where that consciousness, conscious understanding of Maya is necessary. That's why Maya is spoken about here. The reason why Maya is discussed in the Bhagavatam so much is that by understanding Maya, at least you will deal with this world from a different perspective, isn't it? One who does not believe in Maya and one who does not understand Maya, he will deal with this world in one way. And one who understands Maya, he will deal with this world in a different way. To give you an example, gold. Take for example gold. Gold is a very dear thing to everybody, isn't it? Particularly in India, gold is everything. Gold is everything. Gold has got so much value there. So, if you think about this, then the whole of gold what's available in India, almost you can say, I don't know how many tons of gold available in India. 80% of that gold is lying in the temples and monasteries. And it is these temples and monasteries are teaching about Maya to this world. How are they able to do that? Majority of these huge temples, they all carry tons and tons of gold. They don't keep it with themselves, but they keep it with the Reserve Bank or the State Bank of India, or they have so much collection of gold from the devotees. They bring so much gold and tons of gold the big temples and the smaller temples own. Many, many big temples have so much gold. And this gold is stocked with the Reserve Bank or with the State Bank or some big nationalized bank with whom they have the transactions depending on the size of the temple. And these temples, and similarly some of the big monasteries also, big monasteries, different mutts, they all have so much gold with them. And they talk about Maya, but they carry all this gold with them. How come they do that? They're able to do that because they understand Maya, it does not disturb them. It does not disturb them. Sometimes it can happen that somewhere people get attracted to gold and take gold and run away. That can also happen. But by and large, in the overall scenario, you will see that hundreds of temples have they got their the temple rooms covered in gold. There are many, many temples who have got at least their temple rooms, the temple roof is covered in gold. Or the temples have got golden jewelry and gold in different forms for offering to the deities. They keep golden vessels, golden spoons, and plenty of golden jewelry. Many, many rich temples have got that. And they practice the extreme austerity. The devotees or who are serving the deity there, or those who are in charge of the management, they practice severe austerity and they are constantly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or other other shastram referring to Krishna consciousness. So how are they able to do that when there is so much gold sitting there? Because they are able to see that this gold is there, only it is used for Krishna, it is the proper utilization. Otherwise it is considered to be nothing but Maya. So from this you can see that the Maya, by knowing Maya or understanding Maya, Maya's activities, one will be able to see to deal with this world in the proper way. That is the advantage of knowing about Maya. Just as we talked about this, the influence of time. When the time factor comes in our life, What is important is not this time what we measure with the clock and the other thing. The internal science, what the sages have developed, they are telling us that unless you have control on your activities of the mind inside, which is called Chittavritti Yoga, Chittavritti Nirodha, that Chittavritti has not come under control, all your other activities in the outside world will not help you to come to a state of realization. And those who have completely managed to completely stop these activities of the mind, they live in the present, because they are not having the anxiety about the future. They don't think about the past either. Sometimes you can see this Maya, how it works. We teach history for the children, isn't it? In the schools, history is a big subject. As from Vedic point of view, studying history in this way is complete waste of time. It doesn't help. Because by studying history, what do we learn? The historian says to us, or people tell us, if I ask somebody, why are we studying history at the school? The answer I normally got was, by knowing history, you can learn at least in the future not to repeat the same mistake. Isn't it? This is what they say. Then they say history repeats itself. They bring another addition to that. But the foolish understanding, not knowing of Maya, brings this understanding, history repeating itself. It's a completely foolish statement. History doesn't repeat itself. Maya plays her role in this world. That's what Maya does. Maya does. So, just for example, by studying history, 1914 to 1918, we had one world war. I'm only talking about world wars because it's much more known. There's so many wars going on in so many places in this world, under so many pretexts. Because we don't know enough about it, let's take the world war which we have studied at school. Second World War happened 39 to 45. So there was a gap of about something like 1918 and 1939. 21 or 22 years, isn't it? 21 years. Does that mean from 1945, after 21 years, another World War will happen? No. Maya will play that role when it needs to be done. She will come back and play her role at that time. It is not under our control. By studying history, I won't be able to stop the war. That is not under my control. I can study, but to get my GCSE or A-level or whatever you need for getting a job. But that's another thing. Important thing to remember is this, that the point of studying all these things is not giving us that real understanding, or what they call as enlightenment inside. The inside enlightenment is not happening to anyone. By studying, it's a jada vidya. It is a dead thing. And that knowledge is of no use to anyone. So, but the fact is that we spend a lot of our energy in studying this thing called history. And similarly, the same thing with many other sciences also. It is in the same way. So Krishna is saying here that yadidam manaso vaja chakshubhyam shravanadibi. Whatever you have heard through your mind, your eyes, your ears and all other senses, nashvaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. It's all temporary and it's all nothing but mind and nothing but maya. How many of us can acknowledge this fact? We can't even relate with it properly, isn't it? Because this is our state of consciousness today. We have been living through this, so much vasanas we have created inside, all those vasanas is waiting there for an opportunity to come out, and we are trying to understand Krishna consciousness. And Krishna is telling us that take it first thing to realize is this. Krishna says to Uddhava, unless you recognize this point, in other words, Krishna straight away wanted Uddhava to come to that platform of spiritual life. And from that point of view, you can understand, you can realize what Krishna is talking about. So, the result of this, if one does not understand this verse, which is verse 7, what will happen to him is the next verse. Let's look at that.
Pumso yuktasya nanartho brahmasa gunadosha bhag karma akarma vikarmedi gunadosha dhiyo vidah.
Krishna is saying there,
pumso ayuktasya nanartho brahmasa gunadosha bhag karma akarma vigarmedi gunadosha dhiyo vidah.
Then, this is the third bomb from Krishna. That Krishna is saying, pumso ayuktasya. Ayuktasya means, let's understand what that means.
Pumso ayuktasya nanartham.
Ayuktasya. One who has not realized this, what Krishna has said in the verse 7, he is called ayukta. He is called ayukta. What will happen to him? That's what Krishna is saying in this verse.
Pumso ayuktasya.
For him, nanartho. Nanartha means he will see this world, everything different. Everything different.
Pumso ayuktasya nanartham brahmasa gunadosha bhak.
Once you have nanartham, once you have seen this world, everything different one to another, what is known as brahmam will happen. Brahmam is that word. I don't know how to put that in correct word in English. Basically what it is that your mind is giving you a false understanding of things. That's called brahmam. That means pumso ayuktasya nanartho. Let's understand what ayuktasya means. Ayuktasya means when one lives in his mind, or in other words, who is on a mental platform all the time, or one who lives in his intellectual platform all the time, or one who lives in his bodily level all the time, he is all ayukta. They are all ayukta. We'll explain a little bit more. You know, in the Yoga Sutram and also in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see somewhere Prabhupada mentions this also. These five sheets around the soul. That is from the yoga point of view. The five sheets seven around the soul. What are they? Annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam. These are called kosham. Kosham means cell or sheath. Kosham is actually a sheath. A sheath around the soul. This is the science inside we are talking about now, not the science outside. Science outside, we will leave it to the qualified scientists. Let them do that research on that. But the science inside, like Patanjali, like Vedavyasa Maharshi, Sri Narada Maharshi, they have done the research inside. They didn't do the research outside. You don't see. Do you see anywhere Vedavyasa Maharshi writing how to build a nuclear reactor or how to build a Disneyland or anything? No. Vedavyasa Maharshi has no time for that. For he has already understood, because he has realized it inside what this external world is. Your interest in the external world will be there so long as you find that is important. Isn't it? Once you have, at the time of death, you won't be thinking about external world too much. Even atheists, they say, at the time of death, they become very God conscious. All this atheism will finish when the last minute, when the soul is pulling out of the body, that time the atheism also collapses. Up to that time, they will talk all these big, big things about atheism, about science, this, that and the other. But at the last minute, when you are lying down in the hospital, the doctor is standing there, the nurses are on either side waiting for that soul to leave the body, at that time, will he be talking atheism at that time? I don't think so. It's not possible also, because you know that in your own heart, inside, that call is coming to recognize something. So at that time, atheism goes away. So it's only up to that. Anyway, coming back to this, Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying here, and Patanjali Maharshi is also saying here, there are five different cells around the soul. Five different cells around the soul. And these five cells are Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. They are the five different sheets around the soul. Now, what are they? They are referred. Annamayam means one who is on a bodily level, completely on a bodily platform. It is those people who are completely absorbed in the body, who cares very much about the food, what they eat. They're very particular. Particular in the sense, not from a spiritual side. They learn all sorts of things that for the strength of the body, they will eat for the strength of the body and health of the body, not for the consciousness of the body. That means for them, they will be very particular, because whatever the modern science tells them, you can have one pint every day, it's healthy for you, they'll take that pint. Why? Because he is considering, the doctors or science has told them that everything in moderation is good for you, so he takes that. Why is that? Because he is on a bodily level. He is not on any higher level, very much on a bodily level. And he may do shopping in the best places for getting the best thing. You'll spend a lot of money to keep himself fit. It is the same thing, those people who are engaged in keeping this body fit all the time. Body, at the end, if you have some spiritual understanding, or particularly those who are advanced in the spiritual consciousness, they do not want to waste too much time in developing this body. Let's see in the how much we see the what do they call this, leisure centers, isn't it? When you walk into one of them and see the amount of activity that's going on there, the amount of machines they have developed, the amount of money they charge, and the amount of time they spend after coming back from work, going there till 10 o'clock at night, doing this and coming home, when you see their commitment to develop this body, you start thinking, if the same commitment if they had for chanting the holy name in the morning, how much beneficial it will be for them. And that's Maya. That's Maya. That Maya will make you think something what you are not, make you realize that you are that, and you are willing to sacrifice anything to develop that body. So, this person who is in the bodily level, he is called Shariram, that is in the Annamayam state. Or everything for him is Annamayam. Food is main thing, or he is in that level of this gross body, which is in relationship with the food. Therefore, it is called Annamayam. So, whatever intake he has, it only spoils him, isn't it? Suppose he takes some food which is contaminated or which is infected. If he eats that food, it affects him. So basically you can say that people who are in the Annamayam state or Annamayam consciousness, their activities will only disturb their body and they will suffer due to that. If you go a little bit more than that, little higher, is what is known as Pranamayam. Pranamayam means the air. Pranam is the air, isn't it? Life air inside. So, suppose you have some polluted air. All those people who are breathing that air will get polluted, will get affected by that. Isn't it? All those who breathe that air will get polluted by that. Or in other words, Pranamayam is a little bit on a higher level than the Annamayam. In other words, your association with the pranam, the life air, takes you to a level where you get affected by that, by the pranam, by the influence of the pranam inside. So if the pranam does not work properly, you know there are five different major airs and then some corollaries to that, associated. Upapranams they are called. They have names for all that. Like pranam, apanams, Vyanan, Samanan, Udanan, like that. There are five major ones and there are five associated ones also with it. They are all inside this body. So when any one of them gets disturbed, it will get disturb your system, the bodily system. It affects you. So pranam, what goes inside, the air that comes in, has an impact on everything. So, you have got this inside Annamayam, then there is Pranamayam. After that is what is known as Manomayam. Manomayam means, that's what Krishna is talking about here also, Manomayam, isn't it? Vidhi, what does Krishna say? Nashuram Vihyamanamja Vidhi Maya Manomayam, he says. Manomayam. What is Manomayam? Manomayam means that instead of the food or the air that you have breathed, other things what you push into this body, that is Manomayam. That can happen through all the other senses. Senses of knowledge and senses of action. And where you are acquiring things, you see, the food that we eat is not only through the mouth, you have to remember that. The food that going into this body is not only through the mouth, the food that is coming through the ears, what you hear throughout the day. Throughout the day what you hear, or all the things what you see with your eyes, this is all food for inside. These are the things which the mind is working with. The mind associates with all what you are pushing inside through all the different senses. The sense of touch, through the tongue, through the ears, through the nose, through the eyes. You are feeding this body all the time. Isn't it? All the time you are feeding this body with something or the other. So long as what you are feeding inside is not of a very high quality. Instead, if you are feeding all the garbage from this world, that's what most of us do, isn't it? Most of the people, that's what they are doing. All the garbage they are feeding inside, not realizing how much damage they are doing to themselves. They are doing to themselves. Like through these different television programs, for example, or through the different magazines and literature, what is being sold in the market. When you start associating with them, you are feeding yourself, your mind with something. And once it goes inside, what happens is the mind gets activated. And that is called Manomayam. That's called Manomayam. So, Vidhi Maya Manomayam. So, Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam. Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam. Like, who are these Manomayam? Manomayam is that, say for example, say in a country there is a leader, prime minister or president or whoever it is. If his mind is polluted, if mind is not very good consciousness he has, it will affect everybody, isn't it? The whole country will be affected by that, because his activities will have a detrimental effect on everyone's mentality. It is very difficult to live with somebody or live under, say, the top leaders, if they are very much influenced by sinful activities and very much influenced by violence and not able to stay on a platform of mode of goodness. That same thing will affect the people also who are living underneath them, who are living with them. It's very difficult for those who are living. They will be in a subtle level affected by the activities of the leadership. It is difficult to difficult to escape from that. So therefore, when you come from Annamayam to Pranamayam to Manomayam, it is widening. The scope is widening. Influences, the impact is, in fact, of this influence is getting wider. It gets bigger on the human society. That's why Manomayam is. Now, after that, there is another thing called Vijnanamayam. What is this Vijnanamayam? Vijnanamayam is that stage. What we are talking about is the scientists. Scientists and those people who are working in that direction. They are on the intellectual level, they are absorbed in various things. On an intellectual level, they are absorbed. So what normally happens is, they think that intelligence is to be used. They have got a lot of intelligence in them. But normally what happens is that intelligence is used for the wrong purpose. Intelligence is used for the wrong purpose. The result is that as much as Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam can do damage to this world, on a much larger scale, Vijnanamayam can do the damage. You see, Vijnanamayam, they can do the damage on a much larger scale. You may think that, you know, the big scientist who invented this, the nuclear bombs, and those who are spending their time in developing further from there, isn't it? First they have developed the nuclear bombs. That's okay, that already was there. Great, now we are caught up in this, we don't know what to do about it. The whole world is frightened now, which way it's going to go. And then one is preaching morality to the other. The one who has created it is telling morality to somebody else. So this is the world today. Anyway, those who have created this to take about this nuclear bomb itself, this, you may think that, oh, he has invented the nuclear bomb. I don't know who has done that, but whoever it is, because of the intensity of activities on the Vijnanamaya Kosham, what he was engaged in, of course, he didn't have a deeper understanding of the life. The result was that he found, invented something and then realized the foolishness of it, what he has done. So that's why after it was invented, the scientists agreed that had I not done this, it would have been better. Because now, you see, maybe temporarily the problem was solved at that time. But the problem became much bigger now. This is Maya. You may try to control something in this world with some of your mind and intelligence, but they will also fail at some point. Maya is higher than that. Maya will come with something higher than that always. So when they invented nuclear weapons and they thought that they have solved the problem here, that very same nuclear weapon is coming back and standing in front of them, asking them now what is next. And these very same people, still they have not learned, therefore they are able to spend more time on this technology to develop further than that, thinking that they will get peace by inventing the next stage of nuclear weapons. And they get more perplexed in this and completely baffled by this. Maya comes back again and puts another bomb at that time. So this thing is coming from this Vijnanamaya Kosham. So those who are addicted to senses and sense gratification, they are on the Annamaya Kosham. Those who are involved with the pranan or the way the air, that Pranamaya Kosham exists, and then Annamayam Pranamayam. Then those who are in the mental platform, that is Manomaya Kosham. And then after that is this kosham or cell or sheath, what is called as Vijnanamaya Kosham. Now, after these four things, what is known as Anandamaya Kosham exists. Anandamaya Kosham is that sheath which is closer to the cell. Because Krishna is much more intelligent than us. Krishna knows, if I had left this species called a human society with the four koshams, they will destroy this world. So, sometimes people terrify this world. We have got so much nuclear weapons, it can destroy this world 10 times. The capacity of the total nuclear energy or nuclear capabilities in this world, planet, is such now that they say they can destroy life in this world 10 times more. This is all their own statements. I don't know. I'm not interested also. But important thing to know is this, that Krishna has given us one thing higher than that. What is that? This Anandamaya Kosham. And because this Anandamaya Kosham is there inside, there will always be people in this world who will be looking for the truth and who will be pursuing the spiritual reality, the reality. All the other four is completely on a wrong platform. Means Vijnanamaya Kosham also will not take you to the truth. Anandamaya Kosham alone is that experience of one when he is in relationship with the soul. So therefore, to break away from all these sheets and come to the Anandamaya Kosham is more important. And when they threaten this world, that this world is going to be finished, this world is going to be, today as you know, that so many statements come. It's been coming for a long time now. They've been saying that this planet will be destroyed by year 2050 or because of environmental problems or due to heavy rains or earthquake, this, that and the other. That is the greatest folly to talk like this, because Krishna has created us in such a way that with this Anandamaya Kosham existing there, and so long as there are people absorbed in the study of Shastram and realization of this Anandamaya Kosham inside, the world cannot come to an end. These are all completely from a bodily concept of life, these statements. There's nothing beyond than that. So it is necessary that spiritual life will carry on in this world. All the time you are seeing this. On the one hand, they are destroying and they are making it more and more materialistic in their understanding of world. On the other hand, there are personalities always coming with spiritual understanding of life, and more mind is turning back into spiritual side. Why is that happening? In spite of the very intense propaganda by the science, by the industry, by the universities, still there are people looking for the truth in this world, all over the world, not only in London or America or Europe or India. Everywhere there are still people searching after the truth. Where is that inquiry coming from? It comes from Anandamaya Kosham. Because he knows that the true happiness is in none of the other planes. Anandamaya Kosham alone is the time when you are in relationship with the soul. That is where that inquiry will continue in this world. And so long as that inquiry survives, exists in this world, the life will continue in this world as well. So, why I was saying that, in the next verse if you see, Krishna said there, Pumso ayuktasya nanartho brahmasa gunadosha bhag. Pumso ayuktasya. So, who is ayuktasya? Ayuktasya is that person who lives in the annamayam, who lives in the pranamayam, who lives in the manomayam, and who lives in the vijnanamayam. They are all ayuktasya. As long as you are in these four shells or four sheets surrounding you, which is mental platform, intellectual platform, and bodily platform, or the level of pranana as it is spread here, as long as you are in that platform, you are ayukta. What is yukta? Yukta, Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, if you remember. Yuktahara viharasya, yukta jeshtasya karmasu, yukta suknava bhodasya, yukho bhavdi dukkaha. That Krishna says there, a person who is yukta, yukta and ayukta, important word. Ayukta is that person who lives in these four states of existence. He is not yukta. Yukta is that person who has come to the spiritual platform and he controls his activities in this world from that platform, from the spiritual platform. A person who is on a mental platform, intellectual platform, bodily platform, he would not control his life in the same way as a person who is on a spiritual platform. Yes or no? You can understand this difference, huh? That just because one is intelligent doesn't mean that he is a yukta. If he is using his intelligence for the wrong purpose, what yukta is that? But that yukta associated, intelligence associated with spiritual life, spiritual realization, then it is good. Then he can act on a spiritual level. Then he is on a spiritual platform. He is yukta. But otherwise, Krishna is saying, Pumso ayuktasya. When you are ayukta, Krishna says nanartham. Nanartham means what? Nanartham means when you look into this world, you will find everything is different. Everything is different. One person is different than the other. One material nature, one tree is different than the other tree. One animal is different than the other animal. One building is different than the other animal. Another building. So many differences. Only differences you notice in this creation. Only the differences you notice in this creation. And why? Because due to the mind. Mind is the one that is creating these differences. So as long as you are identifying in that level, Krishna is saying there, you have not come to the spiritual platform. So long as one is thinking in this world, in the mental platform, he gives importance to all these things. See, there are two things here. Manomayam and Mayamayam. Manomayam and Mayamayam. Mayamayam is what you are observing here. Manomayam is that thing when it is inside. When it has gone inside, it becomes Manomayam. What is outside, when it goes inside, it becomes Manomayam. Mayamayam becomes Manomayam when it goes to the mind. Krishna is saying, in order to be on the spiritual platform, you have to disengage with both the mind as well as with Maya. With both of them, you have to disengage. That's why it is said here that the Pumso Ayuktasya Nanartham, one who is not spiritually advanced or one who is not very spiritually thoughtful, such a person will always see the differences in this world between different living entities, and along with that he will develop attachment to one, aversion to somebody, anger to someone, love to somebody. All this is due to a result of that, and because of that alone he will always see. Why that happening? Because of the three modes of nature. He will decide also, this is good, this is bad. This will be there in his mind. If you take our own activities in this world, how do we act in this world? We act thinking that something is good, something is bad. Isn't it? Something is good, something is bad. So, Pumso Ayuktasya Nanartham. The result of being Ayukta is, the result is Nanartham will come. Nanartham means, as I mentioned before, that you will find everything different in this world. Everything different in this world. This is what will happen to us. That we will start thinking, this is good. And from Nanartham, what will happen? Brahmam will happen. These are all spiritual words related to the activities of the mind. From Nanartham, Brahmam will come. Pumso Ayuktasya Nanartham. Nanartham, Brahmam. Brahmam, what will happen? Guna Dosha Bhag. He will start thinking, this is good and this is bad. Actually, it is beautiful how Krishna sees this. In this world, when we take up anything, we in our own mind decide, this is good, this is bad, isn't it? Everything in this world, we act on this understanding. Something is good, something is bad. Even among people, we decide, that person is good, that person is bad. So I will only associate with this good person, I will not associate with the bad person. One thing. Once this concept goes in, our activities also will be like that. And that is where karmam, akarmam, vikarmam has come from that. If you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, we discussed in Karma Yoga. Karmam, akarmam, vikarmam. So, first Ayukta and then Brahmam. Pumso Nanartham. From Nanartham, Brahmam. From Brahmam, Gunadosham will come. Gunadoshabhag. And with the result of that, karmam, akarmam, vikarmam will come in life. Karmam, akarmam, vikarmam will come in life. And karma, karma, vikarmedi, guna dosha dhiya bhida, it says. All based on this gunam and dosham. Gunam and dosham. Krishna is saying here in Ekadasha Skandam that this gunam, dosham, good and bad, karmam, akarmam, vikarmam, all this is product of Maya. See, so you know that even when you are thinking you are not in Maya, you are still in Maya. That is how Krishna, this is where the difficulty with Ekadasha Skandam. All that what we have studied in Bhagavad Gita, that is why Ekadasham is on a higher level than Bhagavad Gita, because of this. In Bhagavad Gita, we were studying this karmam, akarmam, vikarmam all the time, isn't it? And throughout our life, we are thinking, oh, this is wrong because it's vikarmam. And this is, we should do this, otherwise it's akarmam. And people come and ask you also this question all the time. I'm working in the office, is it karmam or vikarmam? Because they are thinking, if I can get my office situation sorted out, I'm in the spiritual path. Krishna is saying, no, Even then you have not gone to the spiritual path yet. That is, that has come from guna dosha dhiya bhida. That's what I'm saying. It's from gunam and dosham all this has come. Because we have developed this mayamayam is our mind. Because of that, pumso ayuktasya, ayuktam, we are ayukta. And because of ayuktasya, nanartham has come to us. Nanartham. All these differences have developed in our mind. Because of that, these differences have developed in our mind. Where did this difference come to us in the first place? Why did we start differentiating things in this level? If the truth is, everything has come from Krishna, isn't it? Everything has come from Krishna. Krishna is the origin. And if everything has come from Krishna, whether it is matter or it is a living entity, whether it is good or whether it is bad, if everything has come from Krishna, if the origin is Krishna, that is also Krishna's expansion only. But in our life in this world, for our own advancement or our own peaceful existence in this world, we have created good and bad, right and wrong, karma, agarmam and vikarmam. All these things are what has been spoken. Krishna himself has spoke about this in the Bhagavad Gita. That's what I'm saying, that what was spoken to Arjuna and what was spoken to Uddhava is on two different levels. For Arjuna needs that, because Arjuna is in that stage. But Uddhava, who is 120 years old, ready to leave his body from this world, he cannot hold on to the same principles what Arjuna was listening from Krishna. It is no more valid for Uddhava. By now, Uddhava, Krishna is expecting Uddhava to go beyond this karmam, agarmam, vigarmam, gunam, dosham and everything. You have to go beyond that and be situated on a spiritual platform, spiritual consciousness. That is what Krishna is saying here. Pumso ayuktasyana anartho brahmasa guna doshabak karma akarma vigarmedi guna doshadhyo vidaha. That guna dosham, these things finish here. It is no more valid than that. And you will see, that's why those who can act on that platform, Krishna himself, if you see how Krishna acted in this world, some people say Krishna is the biggest warmonger. He is the one who has created the biggest war in this world. Did you hear anywhere Krishna had to go to hell because of that? No. We have to go to hell if we do something. But Krishna hasn't got to go to hell. Why? Because these things don't come to Krishna's activities. So that realized state, because Krishna is from the beginning to end, Krishna's activities are like that. And it is us who foolish people, when Krishna is dancing with the gopis, he says, oh, Krishna is dancing with the gopis. What kind of God is this? So many other people say this. If only they understood this principle, that Krishna's activities are in one word it stands for transcendental, but beyond that, it has not even the least tinge of impact of any of these things what we classify within ourselves as karmam, agarmam, vikarmam, gunam, dosham. None of these has to do with Krishna. On the very end of Ekadasha Skandam, at one point, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, take it this from me, he says, this good and bad is nothing but a concoction of the mind. There is no such thing gunam and dosham. Ultimately, the right thing is to think that there is neither good nor bad. He says that. If you look into the verse in 19th chapter, verse 45, I think it is 45, verse 19th chapter. Yes, it's the last verse of the, I think it's the last verse. Yes, last verse in the 19th chapter. Eda uddhavade prasna sarve sadhunirubidaha kim varnidena bahuna lakshanam gunadoshayoho gunadoshadradardosho gunayastubhaya varjidaha. With that, Krishna has closed the discussion of the three modes of nature, or the qualities also. So only this science of Ekadasham is for that person who has gone even beyond the modes of nature. So imagine how high this knowledge is. This knowledge in the Akasha Skandam. Is Krishna saying here, Eda Uddhavade Prashna. Up to that point, Krishna was talking about good and bad. Uddhava was asking such questions. What's right and what's wrong? And what is truthfulness? What is hell? What is Naragastama Unnaham? What is Tamogunam? What is Aishwaryam? What? Lot of questions. Up for, till 43rd, 44th verse, all questions from Uddhava, Krishna is answering. And then the last verse, Uddhava is saying to Krishna, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, sarve sadhu nirubhidaha, the saintly people, they have already come to a conclusion all these things. Kim varnirena, what is the point in discussing these things? Bahuna lakshanam gunadoshayoho. Instead of analyzing this gunam and dosham too much, he says, if I keep on analyzing this, what's the benefit from that? Krishna is asking to Uddhava. What's the point in me analyzing all these things a lot? It's not going to help you. Why? Guna dosha drishir dosham. To seeing good and bad itself is bad, he says. To see in something good and bad is itself bad. That's how Krishna puts it. Guna dosha drishir dosham gunastu ubhaya varjidaha. This gunam dosham one has to give up at some point. Only then he becomes yukta. Only then he becomes yukta. That's why in this verse, Pumso ayuktasyana anartho brahmasa gunadosha bhag karma karma vigarmedi gunadosha diyo bidaham. Also, for those people who have completely lost in maya, when you are connected with Krishna somehow, even to some little degree, like most of the devotees are connected with Krishna somehow, to some extent, there is some understanding of Krishna, may not be the perfect understanding or may not be the fulfillment what one is expected. But at least to some extent some Krishna consciousness is there in a person. For such a person, he is not completely ayukta. He is not completely ayukta. Only thing what is that unable to disconnect from this bodily identity. Because of that, one, a person who has completely absorbed in the body, he acts in a definitely in a different way. But but as long as one is thinking in terms of the body and terms of the mind and terms of the intelligence, he is ayukta. But one who has come to spiritual life to some degree, he is little bit yukta. But when one is perfectly yukta, then he can bypass all the other and he can realize this, what Krishna is saying here. Brahmasak gunadosha bhag karma akarma vigarmedi gunadosha dhiyo vidaham. Karmam akarmam vigarmam gunam dosham. All these things will go away from that person. Then, in fact, when you look at it, the individual soul or the living entity, he, in his conditioned state, he has got what is known as avidya. Avidya means ignorance, isn't it? So, because he, that is why he is conditioned, because he is a conditioned soul, he is called a jiva. Jiva means conditioned. The spirit soul is pure. It is no, when it is pure, it's not conditioned, it's not called a jiva anymore. Jiva is released from this bondage. In the bonded state, it is experiencing the maya and the modes of nature, and therefore he is considered to be in avidya. Avidya means ignorance. So while he is in avidya, all his activities are also binding to him. Because naturally, avidya means what? All his activities, he will have the concept that I am the doer and I am the benefactor or I am the enjoyer. This will be there in him. He will not be able to completely free himself from that concept. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, or I am the benefactor of the activities. So therefore, in the conditioned state of a jiva, he has to have that with him. Therefore, he is in that state. And because it is all done in avidya, it's all done in ignorance, the result will also be binding to him. The result will also be binding to him. So his activities will also be coming from ignorance. This is a very subtle point one has to understand. Like, people ask this question always. I work for this and this company or this organization. Is that karmam, akarmam, vikarmam? They want to find out that, isn't it? Actually, strictly speaking, all our activities are, from that point level, it is akarmam, vikarmam. Because it is not done for the spiritual advancement. That's not done for the spiritual advancement, so it's vikarmam. Not only that, if you look at it this way, because it has been executed in ignorance, because this particular karmam has been executed in ignorance, it has to be an ignorant activity. Activity also has to be, that is how it is labeled. It does not, because I have read Srimad Bhagavatam and start doing what I want to do, I am freed from that. No, it's not like that. That when our activities are coming from ignorance, it has to be, it will be only a vikarmam. It cannot be otherwise. It has come from ignorance, so it has to be a vikarmam. So as long as it's vikarmam, it's just like this. Even if you feed the best milk to a snake, what will come out from the snake is poison, isn't it? Similarly, even if you do the best activities in this world, but what will come out from that is bondage only. It's only bondage at the end. That's the important thing. It is not easy to free oneself from karma. Karma is such a deeper thing, and our activities to purify that. This is a very fundamental principle in spiritual life, purifying one's own karma. And that is the reason why all the great mutts and all the great spiritual institutions, they insist on this one important point, that let your karma be free from the benefits of the results of that. Because that is the first step in the right direction. By engaging in activities without expecting anything in return of the results from that, by serving Krishna in that mode, that's the only level where purification begins for that conditioned soul. Otherwise, it is an avidya. It is coming from avidya, it will end up with bondage and more karma, more vasanas, more suffering. There is no doubt about that. Srimad Bhagavatam is pointing out these things very, very precisely to us. Pumso ayuktasya nanartho brahmasam gunadosha bhag karma akarma vigarmedi guna dosha dhiyo vidaha. Then gunam dosham karmam akarmam vigarmam ayuktam nanartham brahmam. All these things goes together. They are not independent. They all go together. So this is the reason why in spiritual life, if we do not take these things seriously, our understanding of Krishna consciousness will be different. We will understand everything in the wrong way. But engaging in this way, Krishna is saying here, the purification will begin at that point. That in everywhere, when one starts seeing Krishna's presence, only at that point, these differences will go away and nanartham will go away. What Krishna said there, ayuktasya nanartham. Nanartham will go away and will start slowly realizing that the soul, presence of the soul in every other living entity. That it is at that point, this understanding, I am separate from everything, I am separate from you, you are separate from all these things, understanding, how did that come to us? It has come to us due to this mithya brahmam, or this brahmam in this world. Ayuktasya anartho brahmaso gunadosha bhak. And in that process, we have categorized the whole world. This is good, this is bad, this is tolerable, this is to be rejected, this is to be acquired. All our mental calculations, it's all in the mind, all these things. That's what Krishna is saying there. And Krishna is saying, so long as these kind of differentiations in the mind exist, you are ayukta. You will not be able to free yourself from maya. That's Krishna's point. That is Krishna's point. The only way to free yourself from maya is when you are able to relate everything in relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, you cannot. It cannot be done. This is the point Krishna has made there. That as and not only that, so long as one is differentiating too much in this world, particularly sometimes when it is very much dominant in the office world, in the political world, in the academic world, and all that. This is very dominant. What's that? They will differentiate so much, and they will say, he is our friend, so we should stay with him. And he is our enemy, so I should completely reject him. This way we deal with this world all the time, isn't it? This is called Mithya Brahman. The Brahman that has come to us from our own ignorance, it has come. And this is called Dvaita Buddhi. Dvaita Buddhi means to dvandvam. Dvandvam in this world. Seeing one is good, one is bad. He is my friend, he is my enemy. And somebody is friendly to me, so he is good. I will go with him. Somebody is inimical to me, so I will reject him. I will see to it that he is destroyed. All these kind of thoughts, where did they come from? They came from this Dvaita Buddhi or dvandvam. Dvaita Buddhi has created this. Unless one has gone beyond than this, he will not be able to see Krishna in everyone equally. That is the that's the difficulty. That is why we are finding it difficult still in this world to accept so many things because of this Dvaita Buddhi inside. And that will not go away easily. So that's why Krishna is saying there, Pumso ayuktasya nanartho brahmasak gunadosha bhak. Karma, akarma vigarmedi, gunadoshadhiyo vidaha. So, if it is like that, Krishna says here, then in the next verse, in the immediate next verse, Krishna is saying something much more important. If you look at that verse, Krishna says here, Tasmad, therefore, yuktendriya gramam, yukta chittam idam jagal. Alman Ishasva Vidadam Almanam Mai Adhishware. Another important verse. You see, one this verse, from the last verse you have seen what happens if you are Ayukta. But in the very next verse, Krishna says Tasmad. Tasmad is a word which Krishna likes very much. Throughout Bhagavad Gita you will see this word. And in many places, whenever Krishna speaks, Krishna uses the word Tasmad. Have you noticed? In Bhagavad Gita, Tasmad. Tasmad at so many places. Krishna will use the word Tasmad. Here also, Krishna says Tasmad. Tasmad means therefore. So, Krishna says here, Tasmad yuktendriya gramam. One who is yuktendriya, one who has controlled one's senses, or one who has managed to control his senses. Yukta chittam idam jagal. And one who has also yukta chittam, his mind is also controlled. Not only senses, he has developed the right perspective of this world. Yukta chittam idam jagal. For him, what happens? Atman ichasya vidadam. For him, only one thing exists. What is that? Soul. Nothing else. Atman ichasya vidadam. Atmanam mai adhishware. So, for him, what will happen is, yuktendriya gramam yukta chittam idam jagat. He will control his senses first. Once he has controlled his senses, his mind will come under control. His mind will come under control. When the mind comes under control, he will see that this external world is also nothing but that has come from the mind. He will realize it that I am experiencing this world due to the presence of my mind. It's a mind that keeps this world alive for me. Is it not? We spoke about that before. That once your mind shuts off in the deep sleep state, the world doesn't exist for you. The world is there, but for you it doesn't exist at that time. But when do you experience the world? You experience the world when you are in touch with the mind. When you are in touch with the mind, but don't say to me that, well, I am the mind. You're not the mind. That's what the point is. You are something different than the mind. When you come into contact with the mind, then this world exists for you. So Krishna is saying here, Tasmad yuktendriya gramam. So one who has yukta, not ayukta, one who is yukta, he has indriya gramam. He has controlled his senses so nicely Don't allow any of the senses to allow anything to come in. Close all the windows. And Yuktendriya Gramam Yukta Chittam Ida Jagat. Once you closed all the windows, then what will happen? Yukta Chittam. Your mind is also gets dissolved in that process. The external world is gone. And with the result that the mind is also dissolved. Yukta Chittam Idam Jagat. And what happens to the mind? Atman Ichasva Vidatam. Atman Ichasva Vidatam. What will happen is, he goes back to the soul because the mind doesn't exist anymore after that. Mind does not exist anymore for him. Why? Because he has raised himself to the soul, spiritual level. Atman Ichasva Vidatam. But if he is seeing something in this world still, what will he say? Atman Ichasva Vidatam Atmanam Mayadhishware. Krishna says like that, isn't it? He says there that Tasmad Yuktendriya Gramam Yukta Chittam Idam Jagal Atman Ichasva Vidatam Atmanam Mayadhishware. That first of all he sees the world within the soul, within himself, and not only that, he will see the whole world within himself. Apart from that, he will realize that it is this very same soul who is present in all over the world, whole creation. That's what he's saying. Atman Ichasva. He sees the Jagat within himself, Atma. And then he sees Vidatam, the whole thing, what is spread around. Atman Ichasva Vidatam. And ultimately, what he's seeing is himself, this world outside, everything is Mayadhishware. It is situated within Krishna. It is situated within Krishna, is present within Krishna. So you can see now that in the process of spiritual life, how many hurdles we have to go through. So many stages what one has to cross through, isn't it? That when you read each of these verses in Ekadasha Skandam, you can see and step by step how things have to progress in spiritual life. all the time, that pumso yuktasya nanartho brahmaso ayuktasya nanartho brahmasa gunadoshabad karmam akarmam vigarmedi gunadoshadhiyo vidaha. He said in the last verse. Immediately in the next verse Krishna says pumso yuktasya tasmad yuktendriya gramam yukta chittam idam jagad atman ichasva vidadam atmanam mayadhishware. In that one verse Krishna has spoken everything what he has to say to this world. Come to the spiritual level, spiritual platform. Don't stay in the platform of senses, platform of the body, mind, intelligence. Rather, come to the spiritual platform. This is knowledge. And this is why Ekadasha Skandam, the knowledge of Ekadasham, it sometimes appears as though it is from a different world. But we can't reject it. Why? There were personalities who have understood this Krishna's message, practiced a spiritual life and realized it in this world while being here. In all traditions, there were personalities. Spiritual traditions are many, isn't it? There are many spiritual traditions. And in all spiritual traditions, there were personalities who have gone beyond these things and come to this realization of this statement, Atman Ichasva Vidatam, Atmanam Mayadhishware. Atman Ichasva Vidatam, Atmanam Mayadhishware. Krishna is saying there, Tasmal Yuktendriya Gramam, Yuktajiktam Idam Jagal, Atman Ichasva Vidatam, Atmanam Mayadhishware. Everywhere Yuktam. Krishna says, Tasmad Yuktendriya Gramam. Therefore, after becoming a Yukta and controlling the senses, you will be able to control your Chittam or the mind. Yukta Chittam Idam Jagat. The Chittam will be controlled inside. What does that mean? By that time, Yukta Chittam Idam Jagat, then the thoughts of this world is not disturbing you anymore. Whatever goes on in this world does not bother you anymore. That is that state. Yukta Chittam Idam Jagat. You are not making plans in this world. Remember I was mentioning this. In the dream state, you are going through so much thoughts, it becomes so intense. in the vacant state, the thought process is still going on, but on a much lower rate. Much lower rate. Say, if you say the thoughts in the dream state is say 100 thoughts per second. It, when you come to say in the vacant state, say 25 thoughts per second. When you come to this state, Yukta Chittam Idam Jagat, it's almost zero thoughts per second. Almost zero thoughts per second. Why? Because this world was creating that thoughts, and the world is not anymore disturbing you because you have closed down the connections with this external world. Yukta Chittam Idam Jagat. That therefore Chittam has become Yukta. Yukta Chittam Jagat. And then the result of that, Atman Ichasu Vidadam. You have to go somewhere. Where do you go at that time? To the soul. That is Atma. Atman Ichasu Vidadam. Everything you are seeing within the soul, you realize it, that this whole creation, everything, it has come from the soul. Come from the soul. It has happened. Originated everything from the soul. Sometimes this time and space, studying time and space is important. For example, these two things, time and space, what we consider space, isn't it? We measure. But we know the limitations of space. Okay, if we have an access today to go to other planets, even if we have it, we don't finish there, we know that. At least the scientists are telling us it's not finished there, it's go further than that. Now, the scientists are also now coming up with the understanding that outside this world, universe, there are other universes existing. Many scientists agree with that, that this universe is not the whole creation. If something exists outside this creation, Shastras are saying there are millions or billions of universes existing. So what happens after that, then the question will come. So from there you can see, space is not something which you can comprehend within your limited senses. Time, similarly, is not something which you can comprehend within yourself. Neither the time nor the space is within your control, within your... But for dealing in this world, for transactions in this world, for getting along with our day-to-day business, and to do build properties or houses or something, or things like that, only this current method of time and space will help. Beyond that, we know very well, the scientists also know very well, that they never be able to find out the truth behind the time and space. Do they? They will never be able to tell us. They also know that. Because they are also under the control of time and space. So what can they do? Krishna's Maya is such a powerful thing, that with these two things, time and space, she has completely put us in a difficult situation. We don't know where to start, where to end. Where to start and where to end. The time is like that, isn't it? Where to start? This time, things like time, generally people think, oh, these things were spoken 5,000 years ago or 10,000 years ago. They're particular to find out how many years ago this happened. But if only they think a little bit more deeper, you can see that all this has no relevance, is there? The time is concerned. 10,000 years, even if it is 10,000 or 15,000, does it matter? The truth is always there. And what is the only truth? That is the soul, nothing else. That's why Krishna is saying, if you come to the truth, real, what is the truth? Atma Nichasva Vidadam. Everything is in the Atma only. Only in the soul there is truth. There is no truth elsewhere. So he sees that mind, the senses, the mind, the external world, all these things dissolves one after the other in him who is a yukta. And not only it dissolves, what happens to him is that Atma Ichasva Vidadam. When he is in that spiritual realized state, he will see that all what is manifested outside is nothing but the soul has taken another shape there. Soul has taken another shape there. Atman Ichasva Vidadam. And there, what he is seeing is not matter, but rather the extension of the soul there. Today, we are seeing outside everything is matter, we say. And we call soul separate. We separately identify. But this separation from the matter will close at that point when Atmanichasva Vidadam, when he will be able to project his soul into the matter. And then he will realize the matter also doesn't exist. What exists is nothing but the soul. So at that point, he will realize one more thing. What is that? Atmanichasva Vidadam, Atmanam Mai Adhishware. That Atma, realization of the soul at that point, is nothing but under Krishna's control. Krishna is that Atma present in that form. That also will come to him at that stage. So you can see, these are realizations of the highest level. They are not for ordinary people to start with. First day itself, you take Ekadasham and start reading and decide tomorrow, I'm going to take sannyas and go away from home and I want to realize now. It may happen to few people. It has happened also in the history, but very, very, very rare cases who have walked out of the house and went into that level of realization and were able to stay in that realization. That was come from their previous lives. For ordinary people like us, this is not easily going to achieve. But before that, we have to go through the so many other stages of spiritual life. So that is why in these verses, when Krishna is talking about it, we have to keep this in our mind always. I'll continue with this next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.